Let's say a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for every soul that is gathered here. Lord, I thank you for everyone and ask for open eyes and open ears in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, that as we look into your word, that you shall speak to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be concentration in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. You happy to be in church? Shout hallelujah. Shout a bit hallelujah. If you're happy to be in church, shout hallelujah. Yeah, fantastic. So, we started we are still on the series of how to transform your life, but we started last week about the proper use of the tongue. Abi, how many of you are around last week? Okay. So last week we started a very, very important series. And the first thing that we started, who remembers the first scripture that we looked at? Who remembers? Huh? Proverbs 18 verse what? Okay. Proverbs 18, 20 to 21. Right? Proverbs 18, 20 to 21. I think it's 21 that says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Hallelujah. Who is on the projector? That the power of life and death is in the tongue. Alright, so in verse 20 it says that the man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Huh? From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. And then in verse 21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So, the tongue is not just the organ of the body for tasting. Hallelujah. What they taught you in biology class is that, which is true, is that it is the tongue that you use to taste. They showed you I don't know if you can remember, or maybe some of you have not done it yet. Bitter is the one part, sweet. You know, they have And from a biological perspective, that is all the tongue is for. It's also used for speaking. So communication. If you want to speak verbally, right, your tongue is very important. Okay? But the Lord here is telling us that the tongue also has another use. Can we say that? Another use. Yeah. And that use is that before we get into that use, the reason why the tongue has that other use is that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So physically, the tongue is used for tasting, it's used for speaking. But then spiritually, the tongue has power for life or death. Amen. So that means that the tongue is arguably the most important. You know, the tongue is more important than the eye. Amen. Death and life are not in the eye. Are we together? Huh? Or the ear? Are we together? Or the leg? Amen. Amen. That's why it is not an excuse that your hand was cut that you are begging. Okay? That's not an excuse. Never be emotionally caught up. Are we together? People beg because they are told that they are beggars. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So, one man's hand might be cut, and his leg is cut, and he is still striving for whatever he can do with his life. Another one can have full body, and he will beg because they told him that he is a beggar. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the tongue has more implications for our life than any other part of the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And the Lord is telling us this. Why? Because he wants us to be able to properly understand it. Because it's not just one type of power that is in the tongue. It is a double-edged sword. Amen. Is my voice okay? Okay. Help me open it. It's a double-edged sword. That it has the power of life, it also has the power of death. So if you know how to use it, you will get life. If you don't know how to use it, what will you get? What will you get? You know what I mean? Shout hallelujah. So if you know how to use it, what will you get? If you don't know how to use it, what will you get? Amen. And most human beings are not interested in using the tongue. Or most human beings are not interested in the proper use of the tongue. Okay? It's an afterthought. Most people don't think about how to properly use the tongue. In fact, this teaching, I have to somewhat rush it, because if we stay on everything, we can be on it for the whole year, and we have to talk about that. But it's like going to university, how to use the tongue. It's worthy to spend 4 years studying the tongue. Are we together? Yeah, you're not wasting your time. Like, you can say, I want to know how to use my tongue, and then you spend 4 or 5 years studying. You study various people in history. You study the world. You know, you will study. It's a huge endeavor. But we're just going to look at two main things, which I started last week. The first is that at least before you become a master, and this is also something important to say, that even me, myself, that you are looking at, I don't yet have full mastery of the tongue. The person that has full mastery of the tongue is a perfect human being. That person has no issue again. Are we together? You see that in James. Let's go to James. I think James chapter 3. We looked at it last week, Abby. James chapter 3. Can someone exchange for God's will? God's will, please come and sit down. I want you to hear the word of God. Okay. It's not that you're doing bad. I just want you to... James chapter 3 verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Hallelujah. This is the Bible, it's not me that is saying it. That if anybody does not stumble in word, that person is a perfect man. So the matter we are talking about is a matter of perfection. My point is that it's a long journey, okay? You'll be learning, it will be taking you time to learn. Are we together? So I'm not talking about, I'm not saying that anybody should condemn themselves or something like that, you know. But at least, where you are starting from, it will take you a while to learn how to use the tongue properly. But at least you must urgently learn how not to use the tongue. Amen. So there is the proper use of the tongue. That will give you life, Abby. The improper use of the tongue will give you death. So what is urgent for now is that you urgently learn how not to use the tongue, because it will cause you death. Amen. And like I always tell you, it's not an age specific thing. It's not like I'm too young for my words to have impact. Amen. It's in the world that they tell you you are too young. You know, it's in the world that they can look at you. You know, the world you can look at the 35-year-old man and say, he's just a young boy. You know. I was watching one man's president or so. You know, they're within politics. You know, I think Sheikh Tinubu was disturbing Nans. You know. So I was watching the person that he said is president of Nans. And I was like, this guy's like 38 now or 42. It's only in Nigeria that a student leader will be grown man. Is it the man? Grown man with beards. You know? And he was saying he's a student leader. I was like, wow, Nigeria. Such a blessed country. You know? And then Nigeria, 65-year-old man, I'm saying I'm a big boy. You know, I'm a big boy. Buying Rolls Royce and... Very funny country. But that's just human wisdom. Hallelujah. You're not too young for your words to have impact. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Okay. Don't lose me. So, when we want to talk about the improper way to use the tongue, there are two main ways that all bad usage of the mouth or the tongue is based on, there are like two buckets of it. The first is what we call evil speaking. Can we say that? Can we say it well? Yeah. The second is careless speaking. Can we say it? Yeah. So, when we talk about how the tongue is used improperly, we're talking about evil speaking and careless speaking. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Evil speaking, careless speaking. If you eliminate those two from your life, the quality of your life will change immediately. Hallelujah. The quality of life will change. It will take 2 weeks, 2 months. The quality of your life will change immediately. Even before you start learning how to use the tongue well, if you can just remove these two to the barest minimum, immediately you will see an uplift in your life. So the first is evil speaking. Now, what is evil speaking? This is what I call, and it is evil because God says it is evil. But essentially, this is what I call speaking counter to faith and decency. Can you repeat that? Can you say it one more time? So when the tongue is used to say things that are counter to faith, okay, and to decency. Hallelujah. When the tongue is used in those two ways, that is evil speaking. It is enough to take you to hellfire. Hallelujah. I'll show you scripture, don't worry. But sin, now, there are like three or four ways it manifests majorly. Remember, what did I say is evil speaking? Yeah, speaking counter to faith and to decency. Amen. And there are like three or four ways it manifests. Now, let me just say this thing, that if you were to properly understand, I want everyone to be determined, you know, to learn this thing. Okay? It's not so much learning as per understanding the information, but it's more about the discipline of practicing it daily. Okay? Because it won't be so easy. You pray for grace, but it won't be so easy, especially if you are used to talking a kind of way. And one of the things that you might find challenging, for those of you that like talking, some people like talking. For those of us that like talking, one of the things that you find very challenging is that when you discipline yourself, it will be like your mouth is wasting. Okay? Because you won't have something to say most of the time. Hallelujah. And that's actually a very good thing, that you don't have something to say most of the time. Okay? And as you also discipline yourself, you would also cut what you hear. So your life will become very streamlined, you know. And depending on how worldly you want to be, or how worldly you don't want to be, if you can allow your tongue streamline your life to just one single line, you know, your life will just become very streamlined. For instance, this, when we look at it, you will see that if you want to learn how to use your tongue well, the amount of comedy that you listen to or the skits that you watch, it will reduce very small, because once I teach you, the moment you just see Sabinus making joke about pastor, the thing would hit you in your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, it's left for you to discipline yourself. So there are like three or four ways that it manifests what I call evil speaking. Okay? The first is complaining. Can we say that? Or murmuring. Complaining or murmuring. Can we say it? Hallelujah. Huh? Can we say one more time? Complaining or murmuring. Amen. Now, why do we complain? I will explain why we complain, then I'll tell you how God sees complain. Why do we complain? Okay? We complain for very legitimate reasons. Amen. The reason why we complain is that we either have unmet expectations. So maybe your expectation, for instance, is that as you are coming to church, these ACs will work. Okay? And then maybe NEPA should take light. The gen is not working. And then this place is hot. That's reason to complain. You know, someone can say, this country, maybe you might not complain at the church. You might say, this country, self. You get? So you can, in that scenario, you can complain towards me. You know, maybe the reason why there is no gen is that there is no fuel. So you can complain and say, this is not how to do things. We need to be thinking well, you know. Or you can complain in Nigeria. Amen. Huh? I don't know how many of you have experienced that your transformer blew before. You know, you've experienced it, Abby. How long did it take? 3 months. Who else has experienced? I saw your status. I think, how long have you not had light? 3 weeks. But you brought it yesterday. Okay, so no more complaining. No more complaining. Who else? How long did it take? Like a month, you know. Now, how did it feel the moment you heard that boah? You know, how did you feel? You know, it always starts with boah. It's boah that would do it now. Maybe there's light, everybody is having fun. All of a sudden, it does hear boah. You know, how does it feel? It feels like Kai. Because your whole life will just flash before you. How are we going to iron? Where we get water from? How we charge phone? Your whole life is about to scatter. Amen. So when there are unmet expectations, it produces negative emotions in us. And then when we voice out our emotions from that place, we complain. You know, we can shout, we can do all sorts of things, we can insult, we can curse NEPA, you know, we can curse Tinubu, we can say it won't be well with you. I mean, now, yeah. So you see that to complain is natural in the sense that it is an expected release of emotion. Amen. I guess that's what I'm saying. It is not unnatural, or rather, it is unnatural to not complain. Okay? Normally, if the nation is tough, people should abuse the president online. That's the normal thing to do. Or that's the normal thing that will happen in the society. So, complaining and murmuring comes natural to us. Okay? That's why when we do it, we usually don't think about it. It just flows. It's just like a flow. It just, you know. What else causes complaint or murmuring? It could be a perceived injustice. When you perceive that something bad has happened to you. I mean, so maybe you're walking on the road and then Okada should splash you water. You know, that's injustice. I mean, or you're entering a BRT and then somebody steps on you. Okay? And then the person doesn't say sorry. You know, that's injustice. I mean, yeah. So when somebody slights you, either the person really slighted you or did not slight you. You know? You know, at times people feel that you are arrogant when you did not see them. You know that thing, you didn't greet me when really he didn't see you. You know. So, but that's not the issue. Whether it's a justified injustice or not. The point is that that's what you perceive. So you feel you've been slighted. Hallelujah. The point I'm trying to make is that the danger of complaint is that when you are complaining, you will feel good. Amen. Are we together? Eh? You wouldn't feel like anything bad is happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? You wouldn't feel like anything bad is happening. You are just expressing your frustration on a matter, on a thing. Okay? Is it right? Is it right that somebody will leave the house and the person will drop key? Is it right? Is it right? I'm asking a question. It's not right. Eh? Is it? Are you considerate that you will leave a house and you will drop the key? And then you will not come back home early. You will not be outside there. You know? You will not be outside there. You can't enter your house. Because one wicked person left the house and he dropped key. You will not be standing outside. Like, you will not be calling everybody. Where are you? Where are you? When you not call the person will not say, I'm in Alaba. I'm in Alaba. You know? Amen. It's not right now. It's not right. So, what will naturally happen in that instance? Complain. You get? Amen. Now, let us go to Philippians 2, verse 14. Let's combine 14 and 15 together. 14 and 15 together. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. Amen. Can we read it together? 1, 2, go. Amen. So, Bible says that, or Paul here says that, we should do how many things? How many things? All things. Without complaining and disputing or arguments. Huh? Why? That we may become blameless and harmless. Amen. Hallelujah. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hallelujah. So, if a Christian is going through a tough time, maybe is going through Nigeria. You know, Nigeria is a tough time. Alright? Nigeria is a tough time. Amen. And he's going through Nigeria with all other sets of people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they're talking in the office about Nigeria. And all the people are complaining about Nigeria. If the Christian is complaining also about Nigeria, you know that Christian has lost his license to exist. Are we together? Because if he is truly a child of God, and if he is truly a light of the world, if he is truly a salt of the earth, and he is complaining like those that are not the salt of the earth, those that are not the light of the world, then why should a Christian exist? Are we together? If your father that was not born again came back home and he saw that there was no key and he called you and he asked you a question, where are you? There is no key. I'm outside the door. And you told him, you're in Ojota, you're on your way. And he said, you are a very stupid person. This is why I've been telling you. You don't hear word. You don't, you know. Now, if you now call, maybe you now go to school or something, you know. And then your own roommate should now not leave the key and you call and you say, where are you? And you start saying, you too, you don't have sense. You are very inconsiderate, you are very this, you are very that. Are you different from your father? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, we see that your ability to control your tongue, that complaints will not come out of it, is the proof that you are working with Jesus. It is the only, or it is one of the most prominent things that separates you from the world. Hallelujah. One day I'll teach you about true religion. Is it true religion is not speaking in tongues on TikTok? And you need to know this thing. Amen. The world do not respect us because we put our meetings online. Are you hearing me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You are respected when your conduct is divine. When your character is divine. That is how you speak judgment to the world. Okay? What I mean by that judgment is that that is how you let the world know that you are different. It's through conduct and character. It's not true, let's do prayer meeting and broadcast it. Okay? That one is for you. As I said, there's nobody that's under obligation to broadcast their meeting. You understand? It's not compulsory. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. So, Paul here says that we should do all things without complaining and without disputing. Okay? All things. All things. No, he didn't say do some things. He said do all things. Hallelujah. Now, what are the implications of complaint? When I get to, I think I'll combine everything, but let me just say some things now. We'll look at some scriptures that combine everything. But let me just say now. The first is negative impact on relationships. How many of you genuinely like it when, and you know that's the power of complaint. How many of you genuinely feel inspired when your parents, who here is feeling inspired and who thinks they can become a great person in life when your parents are complaining on your head? Who here? Is there anybody that complaint made you say, wow, you know, I can make it in life? Are we together? Even if the complaint is justified though, maybe you're going to carry last in class, you know, I now brought back results, you know. Is there anybody here, genuinely, that the inspiration to become a number one student came because your mother was complaining? Anyone? Like, I brought back bad results one day, and then after your mother finished you with insults, you know, you look at your head. You are bigger. What's inside the head? You know, that's inside. You know. Yeah. Is there anybody here that after that speech, you know, God bless my mom. You know, my mom, it used to be marathon. You can stand there for like 1 hour, 13 minutes. Just, you know, you learn the history of your family up to that point. You know, it will start. You know. Now, is there anybody here that after you know what I'm talking about now? Now, is there anybody there after that speech, and you left that place thinking, wow, you know, I don't believe that if I put my heart to it, I can make it in life. Is there anyone? No. Hallelujah. So you see that while complaint is justified, it does absolutely nothing. Amen. Now, if you were to go and meet somebody now and say that this thing that you feel like this, don't complain about it. You know, it's very painful because you have to hold all that your emotions inside. You know, you have to hold an emotion inside. But the point is that the release of the complaint does nothing. Rather, it negatively impacts relationships. Okay? It does nothing. That's why some of you are shocked. Some of you that have entered trouble, I know they've been shocked because when we eventually talk, maybe some of you that have entered serious trouble, when we eventually talk and they bring your case to me, serious trouble, I don't mean, you know, there's trouble and there's trouble, you know. Serious trouble is maybe only like one or two people. You know, when they bring your case, you'll be shocked that I'll be talking in a very calm tone, you know. It'll be like you have not done anything wrong. Are we together? Eh? It's because I know the power of words. You get my point? I know the power of words. You know, it's not your portion, but if anybody goes and gets pregnant, you'll be shocked, you know. In fact, you get 5-star treatment. You know, the day you report that thing, that, you know, Pastor Kenny, I just want to tell you that, you know, and you'll be stammering, you know, those reports, you know, you'll be stammering. You know, I went, you know, there's this boy that got me pregnant, you know. Yeah. You'll be shocked the way I'll respond to you. You'll be so shocked. I say, are you okay? If I'll talk to you in a very calm tone, you know. There's a reason. There's a reason. You understand? Amen. It's very, it flips the world upside down when you say you don't want to complain. You get it. It's like you're flipping the world upside down. Some of your parents that come to me, you know, some of you don't know, your parents have come to me. I'm sure even they themselves, they might be shocked because the ginger is not there. As they come like that, this is what my child is doing. I don't say, it's okay now, it's okay now. Let him keep coming to church. Don't worry. Let him keep coming to church. Yeah, don't worry, don't worry. Amen. There's a reason why. Are we together? So, it is serious discipline to say you are not going to complain. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Serious discipline. And if you learn this discipline, the impact is that you will, when we get to how to then use the tongue properly, the impact is that you will then see that your word release life in hopeless situations. That's what your mouth will begin to produce. Amen. But if you complain, you're going to have a very negative, it's going to bring a very negative impact on your relationships. Your brother will not love you again. Your parents will not, you know, is that serious, you know, if you complain. You understand? The second negative impact is that you're going to miss opportunities. Can we say that together? Yeah. Because you see, when you complain, you wire your mind to only see negatives, not positives. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? It's part of the, it's a very strange thing, you know. Very, very strange. Very strange, I tell you. It's very strange. Even myself, I'm like, why are we like this? Huh? This country, are we together? As factually tough that it is, you will notice that if you check if you go to airport today, you will see plenty white people coming into this country. Are we together? I hear what I'm saying. This is our country. This is our same Nigeria. Plenty coming in droves. My question is, why are they coming? From Europe, from China, from everywhere. Why are they coming? In our society, it's very funny. Even we ourselves, we don't even understand our society. You know, this is our Nigeria. We have like maybe Lebanese that have been in this country for like 5 generations now. Like they are here. They speak. Some of them even speak Yoruba. They go to school. If you go to school on the island, some of those schools, you have maybe a Pakistan friend. That's like, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, why are they coming? I'm asking you a question. Why do you think they are coming? It's very simple. You don't need to think too much about it. Why are they coming? Yeah. Hold on. Let's give him the mic.
Yeah. They are coming because our economy is like crumbling. They are like seeing opportunity to, I don't know how to put it, but like that's the reason why I think they are coming. Sure.
So they are seeing opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic answer. Let's clap for him. That's why they are coming. They are seeing opportunity. Okay? They are seeing opportunity to make money. It's not, they don't love Nigerians. You get? Praise God. So, when you complain, you will never see life that way. You will never see the opportunities that are before you. The only thing that you will be seeing at the negative things. That's the power of complaining. You will like brainwash yourself into seeing only the bad side. Do you understand? Praise God. Just like someone that has rice but doesn't have stew, and is complaining that it doesn't have stew. You will forget that you have rice. Do you understand? Do you get my point? Yeah. You will forget. You're like, there's no stew. But you have rice. If you say, I have rice. Thank you, Jesus, for rice. Before you know, one intelligence would hit you that, why don't I carry this rice to Joshua's house? Maybe Joshua has stew now. Do you get my point? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you complain, you will shut down your mind. Your mind will just shut down. It's complaint that will make somebody go to Libya. You know that thing? You go to Libya, you try and... It's complaint. You understand? I remember one Okada guy. He was asking me for tips. I say, did they go Libya? You know, what do you think, say? Live in this Ojudu. Okada guy. You know? I say they go. That's how people do things like that. No. People don't receive revelation. You know, that people make those decisions on very flimsy grounds. Never mind, I was not thinking that if I told this guy now that he should go to, you actually go. Yeah? Amen. Praise God. So when complain is always coming out of your mouth, your creativity, the part of your mind that is creative will just shut down. It will just shut down. The only thing that you'll be thinking is negative. Vomi, shout hallelujah. And then obviously, negativity and stress, okay? It will affect even your emotions. You'll be under so much stress. And then you will lack God's presence. Amen. You can never be a complainer and be close with the Holy Spirit. It is not possible. Amen. Not only that, you can never be a complainer and be close with a spiritual person. It's not possible. The moment that thing comes out of your mouth, that thing is like body odor. I'm telling you, the moment that thing comes, everybody that has sense will just want to separate themselves from you. Are we together? So that's the power of complaint. And your response is that in all things, you do not complain. All things. Amen. Yeah? All things. So you can see why some people are strong men. Because some people have gone to the front of that their door and there was no key. And as the thing wanted to come out, they held it. They said, no. You know, as they wanted to explode, they held it. Hallelujah. Yeah? I remember one time like that, my iPhone fell down and cracked. I think that was iPhone 4. Yeah, many years ago. White, you know. The thing cracked in slow motion. Like when it fell down and was tumbling. And I was in slow motion, it's like I was just seeing it. And I hit the wall. The screen now cracked. And I held myself. I was like, hey, I'm not going to shout. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to hold myself. I was physically shaking. I was like, lie. I'm not going to shout. Again. Because I remember, I think around that time, we were having a meeting in Papi's house. And he told us, he said, look, see, anything you lose in this life and then your mood will drop, that's your idol. You understand? Anything. If your laptop screen should break and you can't sleep for 3 days, that's your idol. You understand? Right? So you have to discipline yourself. No matter what you lose, you must always be joyful. You respond with joy. Respond with happiness. Say, Lord, I thank you. In fact, you will start playing music. You do it. Even though you don't feel like it inside, you will talk. You will discipline yourself until that becomes your nature. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's complaint that turns into a beggar. From complaint, soon you turn into a beggar. Again. When you don't have food, if you complain too much, eventually, because remember I told you, your creative mind will not work. So after a while, the only thing, because when your mind is so darkened, the only response to lack is begging. That's why Nigerians are beggars. You know, Nigerians have a very bad begging attitude and entitlement. So it's complaint that makes you that brings out all those things in you. That's why it's evil, because it's not just that you are, to you are doing something that is justified. But what's happening in the spirit is that you are communing with demons. When you complain, demons are coming around you. They'll begin to give you inspiration. They'll begin to give you ideas. Hallelujah. Let me move on. But before I move on, let me give an example. I mean, I remember one day when I came out of my house and I saw this young man, maybe in just 3 or so, you know, and I saw a young man and he came and he asked me for food. I was like, I'm hungry. After school, he was still wearing his school uniform. And he was like, I'm very hungry. Can you give me some money so that I can get something to eat? Now, as a spiritual man, I did not give him anything. Back in the day, when I was not as spiritual, you know, emotion will catch you, like, yeah, you know. But now I understand, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to partake in you turning into a beggar. So I didn't give him anything. And then I was now thinking about it, and I was like, why is it that this young man that I saw, why is it that his default response to hunger is to beg? Meaning that he was hungry, and then the way his mind works, the logic was, let me go and beg. Why didn't he say, do you have any work that I can do for you, that I can get something from? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why did the young man come and say, please, I just want to sweep your compound. Please, do you have clothes? I can help you wash your clothes. Amen. Are we together? Why didn't he say, are you going to market? I can help you carry things for 1,000 naira. Why is it that his mind went to begging? Because of complaint. Or many things, but one of the things is complaint. Complain in the house, complain in the soul. It will darken the mind. Hallelujah. And the mind will not be creative. For instance, some of you are looking, who here is looking for money? Who here needs money? Raise your hand. You need money. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's true that I even remembered. Now, in this church, in June, when is retreat? When is the date? June 8th to 10th. I'll be 10th to 12th, something like that. Yeah. Now, for 3 days, in this church, all the adults are going for a retreat. Now, all these adults going for a retreat, all of them that have family, have one serious problem. Very serious problem. What am I going to do with my children? It's a very serious problem. You know? I'm not thinking about it so much because I've already planned. I'm going to send them to their grandma's place or something. You know? You get it, right? But all the families, they have that problem. And we're all thinking about it. You know? Now, why is it that... How many of you know about this thing? Okay. So some of you that raised your hand that need money... Now, why is it that you need money, but that the thought has not entered your mind that you can take care of all these people's children for a fee? You can go to these people and say, I can take care of your children. I will organize it well. I will get one or two people. Just pay me 20K or something. Are we together? Eh? Now, by the time you collect 20K from me, collect 20K from this one, to collect 20K from this one, collect 20K from that one, you look for one guy that has sense, not somebody that is stupid. Maybe you even go and hire one mama or one of the people that Children's Church works with. Huh? You go and say, okay, by the time you collect money, I'll pay you 30% of... You shall negotiate one price. Then, they will now come. You will take care of their children. By the time you collect 30K from this one, 25 from this one, this from this one, you know, you can make up to 250K. Are you hearing? In 3 days. Okay? Why is it that you need money, but your brain is not working on how to make money? Why? I tell you the truth. It's because you are complaining. I tell you the truth. Because you're just looking at your life and saying, I don't have money. Someone should come and give me money. God, what are you going to save me from this brokenness? That's why your brain is not. If you are thankful, and you are saying, oh Lord, I thank you, you know, blah, 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 blah. Your mind will be sharp. Your mind will be spirit filled. Are we together? Are we together? Then when one Uyibona comes to your country and sees that, oh, wow, this is a need, though. I can meet this need. You now start saying they've come to colonize us again. That's what you'll be saying. Or that's what they will be saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So how you talk is also related to how you think. You get? Yeah. It's also related to how you think. If you complain, your thinking too will be very limited. Very limited. So how do you eradicate? Let me just say this because time has gone. How do you eradicate this thing from your life? You have to accept your life. You see, I don't know. A lot of us, it's like we still want to be in fantasy land. You have to come to terms with who you are. Okay? And thank Jesus. I didn't say thank Jesus for it, but I say thank Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we say thank you, Jesus, all the time, when he says in everything give thanks, it's not like we're thanking God that our leg broke. It's that our leg broke, Jesus, I thank you. Meaning, you are still with me. You are still in charge. I'm acknowledging your presence over my life. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you need to come to terms with who you are and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you the truth. Stop trying to be what you are not. You are who you are. By now, everybody knows your level. You know your level in life. You know your family level. You know everything about yourself by now. Okay? It's when you're a child that the knowledge of of who you are is not yet there. So you can go and ask your father for plane. That's tough. Yeah. But by now, everybody knows your reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Accept it. Okay? And thank Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank Jesus. So, if it's Gary you're eating, accept it. Don't reject it. Don't say, you know, at times, and that's the difference between this and religion, you know. Anyway, maybe we'll get to that. But eat that Gary with thanks. Don't eat it with complain. That's what I mean by accept it. This is who I am. This is where the Lord has placed me for now. And I accept it. I thank Jesus. My life is, I'm grateful to God that I have life. You get? Yeah. So if you get Gary, don't be thankful on Christmas Day. You won't be thankful on the day that there's no food. You get, right? If you get Gary, thank Jesus. Do you understand? If you have corn, thank Jesus. If it's only biscuit, thank Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Never complain. Never feel like, don't complain to God. And say, oh God, I know you are looking at me in this poverty. One day, you will do it. You're just stylishly complaining to God. That's not faith. Amen. Everything, thank Jesus. Get. When you make mistakes in life, because you always make mistakes in life, thank Jesus. Do you get? Yeah. Don't say things like, they give me F. No. Don't say things like that. They gave me, you know. You get my point, right? You see the result. You accept the results. Accept it. That's okay. This means carry over next year. Jesus, I thank you. Not that you thank him for failing, but that he's still with you. You say, you know, Lord, I thank you. Truthfully, I won't lie. I didn't read like that this time. I accept it. We'll do better next time. Are we together? You get? Not that you know you did not read, you're not trying to change your faith with prayer meeting before exam. You know, when you know you did not read. You get? You're not spiritualize exam. You know? Are we together? You're not be holding on to testimony. Maybe someone came to give testimony that, you know, that, you know, I don't know, maybe angel told them the answer. That's the one you'll be holding on to. That's me too, I can, angel tell me the answer. That's religion. That's when you are being superstitious and religious. Are we together? Yeah. So that's that to avoid complaint. If you get F, I got F. I got F. Yeah, not they gave me. You understand? The worst that will not happen, this one you are finished, if it happens. If you not develop a victim mindset, Kai, you are finished. the battle is over. Satan has finished work. He will move to the next person. Once you develop a victim mindset, maybe like now, you will say things like, the reason why you don't give me a job is that I'm Igbo. Hey, once your brain enters that frequency, Satan has finished work. He won't disturb you again. He has finished work. He'll just move on to the next person. Victim mindset. Don't go near it. Because nothing, you see, you will always be right with a victim mindset. Okay? Meaning, it always makes sense. You know, if you are the kind of person now that, you know, maybe you have a victim mindset as regards race, you will see racism everywhere because human beings are racist. You get? Human beings are racist. You understand? White people, there will always be racist white people. And you will see them. You understand what I'm saying? Right? There will always be tribalistic people. You get my point? There will always be people that say, I don't want you to marry my daughter because from Igbo, she's Yoruba, we don't marry Igbo. There will always be those kinds of people. You get? Right? But the moment in your mind you have a victim mindset, that will be the only explanation for life. So you will kill, it's like you will just kill your creativity. You will just kill everything about yourself. You will now be hoping for one political ideology. You know, this is what you see in the world with, you see a lot of this in the West, with racism, how they talk about racism. It's like you're just there waiting for Obama to come and deliver us. Eh? It's the same thing with IPOB now. You're just waiting for Jesus Christ to come and deliver us. All these Igbo people, we are suffering too much in this country. You know, if Nnamdi Kanu can just deliver us from all the suffering, we won't be suffering again. You will just kill yourself, as in the damage you do to yourself. When people are thinking about how to advance, how to improve, how to do this, you will just be there, sitting down. After all, the reason why I'm here is that I am black. So, why should I read? That's how the mind will start working. So, you will never do anything that you are meant to do. And as you keep on going down, 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 the excuse will be getting more, more, more. Yes, now. It's because I'm black. It's because I'm this. It's because I'm a woman. That's why they don't want to give me house. Because I'm a woman. Because I'm this. Because I'm that. It's a very dangerous mind to have. Very dangerous mind to have. You understand? So you don't complain. That's why God is trying to train you so that, because you will, see, as women, you will get to places. You get to places where you will be intimidated, though. Yes, you understand? You enter a boardroom where it's 15 men, one woman, and you're the only one there. And you have to know how to talk. If not, the people will just kick you out. You understand? The battle is real. Okay? So if you enter that battle, thinking that you're a victim, they will eat you like suya. You understand? They will whine you, eat you like suya. You understand? Amen. Alright. We'll continue next week. Like I told you, it's a journey. So next week, we'll look at the brother of complaint. You know, there's complaint that is obvious. Then there's complaint, or rather, there's evil speaking that is obvious. This one is easy to detect, this one. The one that is not so easy to detect is the second type of evil speaking. And that's what I call coarse jesting. This one is evil, but it comes through joke. You know, so this first one, people complain because they feel justified. This other evil, people speak evil through jokes because they want to laugh. You understand? So it never feels bad. You get, when you're using the tongue wrongly, it always feels good. You know,